This is Audible.
Ideal Audiobooks presents P.S. I Like You by Casey West, narrated by Shannon McManus.
Chapter 1. A lightning strike. A shark attack. Winning the lottery. No. I lined through all the words. Too cliche. I tapped my pen against my lips. Rare. What was rare? Meat? I thought with a small laugh. That would go really well in a song. My pen drew a couple more lines, blackening the words to unrecognizable before I wrote a single word. Love. Now that was rare in my world. The romantic version, at least. Lauren Jeffries, the girl sitting next to me, cleared her throat. It was then I noticed how quiet the classroom was, how I'd slipped into my own space again, shutting out the world around me. I had learned how to keep my head down over the years, how to handle the occasional unwanted attention. I slid my chemistry textbook over my notebook full of everything but chemistry notes and slowly raised my head. Mr. Ortega's eyes were on me.
Welcome back to class, Lily.
Everyone laughed.
You were writing down the answer, I'm sure, he said.
For sure. It was all about acting unfazed, like I had no feelings. Mr. Ortega let it go, just as I hoped he would, and moved on to explaining the lab for the following week and what we'd need to read to prepare for it. Since he'd let me off the hook so easily, I thought I'd be able to slip out unnoticed when class ended, but after the bell rang, he called out to me.
Ms. Abbott, give me 1 minute of your time.
I tried to think of a good excuse to leave with the rest of class.
You owe me at least 1 minute, seeing as how the last 55 were definitely not spent on me.
The last student filed out of class, and I took a few steps closer. I'm sorry, Mr. Ortega, I said. Chemistry and I don't get each other. He sighed.
It's a two-way street, and you haven't been doing your part.
I know. I'll try.
Yes, you will. If I see your notebook out again in class, it's mine.
I held back a groan. How would I make it through 55 minutes of torture every day without a distraction? But I need to take notes. Chemistry notes. I couldn't remember the last time I took a single chemistry note, let alone multiple ones.
You can have one sheet of paper, unattached to a book, that you will show me at the end of each period.
I clutched my green and purple notebook to my chest. Inside it lived hundreds of ideas for songs and lyrics, half-finished verses, doodles and sketches. It was my lifeline. This is cruel and unusual punishment. He gave a small laugh.
It's my job to help you pass my class. You've left me no other choice.
I could have offered him a list of other choices.
I think we've come to an agreement.
Agreement wasn't the word I would have chosen. That implied we both had a say in the matter. A better word would have been law, ruling, edict.
Did you have something else to say?
Mr. Ortega asked. What? Oh, no, I'm good. See you tomorrow.
Minus the notebook,
he called after me. I waited for the door to close behind me before I opened that notebook again and wrote down the word edict on the corner of a page. It was a good word, not used enough. In the process of writing, my shoulder slammed into someone, nearly sending me flying.
Watch it, magnet,
some senior guy I didn't even recognize said. 2 years later, and people still couldn't let the nickname go. I didn't react, but imagined throwing the pen in my hand like a dart at his back as he walked past. You look ready to kill someone, my best friend Isabel Gonzalez said, falling in step beside me. Why do people still remember that stupid little chant Cade made up? I grumbled. A stray piece of my dark auburn hair escaped his hair-tied prison and fell into my eyes. I tucked it behind one ear. It barely even rhymed. A chant doesn't have to rhyme. I know. I wasn't debating his chant-writing skills. I was saying that kids shouldn't remember it. Still. After over 2 years, when there's nothing catchy about it. I'm sorry, Isabel said, linking her arm through mine. You don't have to apologize for him. He's not your boyfriend anymore. Anyway, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. Well, I do. It's stupid and childish. I think people say it out of habit now versus really thinking about what they're saying. I wasn't sure I agreed with that, but decided to drop it. Mr. Ortega banned my notebook from class. Isabel laughed. Uh-oh, how are you going to live without one of your limbs? I don't know. And in chemistry of all classes, how can anyone be expected to listen in there? I like chemistry. Let me rephrase that. How can any normal person be expected to listen in there? Are you calling yourself normal? I bowed my head, conceding her the win. We both stopped as we reached the fork in the sidewalk just past the B building. The pinkish rock landscape that lined the pathway looked especially dusty today. I lifted my red sneaker-clad foot and towed a few rocks off the sidewalk. The landscape was good for water conservation, but up close, Arizona scenery did little to inspire me. I had to observe it from a distance to find notebook-worthy lines. The thought reminded me to look up. The beige buildings and crowds of students weren't much better than the rocks. So, fake Mexican food for lunch today? I asked Isabel, as Lauren, Sasha, and their group of friends walked around us. Isabel bit her lip, her expression suddenly worried. Gabriel wants to meet me off campus today for our 2-month anniversary. Is that okay? I can tell him no.
Right. Your 2-month anniversary? That's today?
I left your gift at home.
Isabel rolled her eyes.
What did you get me? A homemade book about why guys should never be trusted?
I put my hand on my chest and gasped.
That doesn't sound like something I do at all. And the title was, How You Know He's a Selfish Pig. But whatever.
She laughed.
But I'd never give you a book like that for Gabriel, I added, nudging Isabel. I really like Gabriel. You know that, right? Gabriel was sweet and treated Isabel well. It was her last boyfriend, Cade Jennings, King of Stupid Chance, who inspired imaginary books. I realized Isabel was staring at me, still worried. Of course you can go to lunch with Gabriel, I said. Don't worry about me. Have fun.
You could come with us if...
I was tempted to make her finish that sentence, to accept her invitation just to be funny, but I put her out of her misery.
No, I don't want to go on your anniversary lunch. Please.
I have a book to write. 2-month anniversaries are the start of forever. Chapter 1. At 60 days, you'll know it's real if he whisks you away from the drudgery of high school and takes you to Taco Bell.
We're not going to Taco Bell.
Uh-oh. Only one chapter in, and it's not looking good for you. Isabel's dark eyes glinted.
Joke all you want, but I think it's romantic.
I grabbed her hand and squeezed. I know. It's adorable.
You'll be okay here? She pointed across the commons. Maybe you could hang out with Lauren and Sasha?
I shrugged. The idea didn't thrill me. I sat next to Lauren in chemistry, and sometimes we'd talk, like when she'd ask what the homework assignment was, or for me to scoop my backpack off of her binder. And Sasha hadn't said even that much to me. I looked down at my outfit. Today I was wearing an oversized button-down that I had found at a thrift store. I'd cut the sleeves to make it more like a kimono, and tied a brown vintage belt at the waist. On my feet were beat-up red high-top sneakers. My look was quirky, not trendy, and I would stand out in a group like Lauren's, where they were all perfectly put together in their slim-fitting jeans and tank tops. I held up my notebook and nodded at Isabel. It's okay. This will be my chance to work on a new song. You know I don't get any alone time at home. Isabel nodded. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw him, and I froze. Lucas Dunham. He was in the middle of a group of other senior guys on a bench, his hoodie zipped up, his earbuds in, staring into space. Like he was present and not present. A feeling I could relate to. Isabel followed my gaze and sighed. You should talk to him, you know? I laughed, feeling my cheeks warm up. You remember what happened last time I tried that?
You got nervous, that's what happened.
I couldn't say anything. Nothing at all. He and his cool hair and his hipster clothes scared me. I finished in a whisper. Isabel tilted her head while she looked at him, as if disagreeing with my assessment of his appearance.
You just need practice.
Let's start with someone you haven't been pining over for the last 2 years.
I have not been pining over Lucas.
I trailed off when she leveled me with her knowing stare. She was right. I had been pining. Lucas was probably the coolest guy I knew. Well, I didn't really know him, but that probably made him more cool. He was a year older than us. He wore his dark hair long, and his clothes consisted of band tees or old-school polo shirts, a contrast that made me unable to put him in a category.
"Double with me and Gabriel next Friday," Isabel announced suddenly. "I'll find you a date."
"Pass."
"Come on. It's been a while since you've been on a date."
"And that's because I'm awkward and weird, and it's not fun at all for me or the poor soul who agrees to go out with me."
"That's not true."
I crossed my arms.
"You just need to go out more than once, or twice, with someone so they see how fun you are,"
Isabel argued, adjusting her backpack straps.
"You're not awkward with me."
"I am totally awkward with you, but you're not under pressure to eventually kiss me, so you put up with it." Isabel laughed and shook her head.
"That's not why I put up with it. I put up with it because I like you. We just have to find a guy who you can be yourself around."
I put my hand over my heart, and on that hot fall day, Isabel started on the impossible quest of finding a suitor for her best friend. It would be a lifelong quest, one that would test both her determination and her faith. It would lead her to the brink of insanity, and...
"Stop!" Isabel interrupted, bumping my shoulder with hers. "It's that kind of attitude that will make this impossible."
"That's exactly what I've been trying to say."
"No, I'm not going to accept that. You'll see. The right guy for you is out there."
I sighed, my gaze drifting over to Lucas again. "Seriously, I'm fine. No more setups."
"Fine, no more setups. But be open, or you might miss something right in front of you."
I flung my arms out to the sides. "Is there anyone more open than me?" Isabel gave me a skeptical look. She started to answer when a loud voice called out from across the grass.
"There she is! Happy anniversary!"
Isabel's cheeks brightened, and she turned toward Gabriel. He jogged the rest of the distance separating them and lifted her into a hug. They looked gorgeous together, both dark-haired, dark-eyed, and olive-skinned. It was weird seeing Gabriel at our school. He went to the high school across town, and I associated him with after-school and weekend events.
"Hey, Lily,"
he said to me as he put Isabel down.
"Are you coming with us?"
His invitation seemed sincere. He really was a nice guy.
"Yeah, is that cool? I heard you were paying, and I said, I'm in."
Isabel laughed.
"Great,"
Gabriel said.
"It was a joke, Gabe," Isabel said.
"Oh."
"Yes, I'm not a charity case. I was beginning to think they thought I was."
"No, of course not. I just feel bad for not letting you know earlier," Isabel said.
Gabriel nodded.
"It was a surprise."
"You guys are going to run out of time to actually eat if you keep coddling me. Go, have fun. And, congratulations. I recently read a book about how two-month anniversaries are the start of forever."
"Really? Cool,"
Gabe said. Isabel just rolled her eyes and smacked my arm.
"Be good."
I stood on the path alone now, watching the groups of students around me talking and laughing. Isabel's worry was unfounded. I was fine alone. Sometimes I preferred it that way.
Chapter 2
I sat on the school steps with my notebook in my lap, drawing. I added a few flowers to the sketch of the skirt, then shaded in the tights with a green-colored pencil. My earbuds were in, and I was listening to a song by Blackout. The lead singer, Lissa Prim, was basically both my style and music idol. A genius songwriter who rocked cherry red lips, vintage dresses, and her ever-present guitar.
"Stretch out your wilting petals and let the light in," the song played in my ears. I tapped one foot to the beat. I wanted to learn how to play this particular song on my guitar. Hopefully, I could practice later. The sound of the minivan was loud enough to drown out the music, and I didn't need to look up to know my mom had just arrived. I closed my notebook, stuffed it into my backpack, took out my earbuds, and got to my feet. I could see the two heads of my brothers in the back seat. Mom must have picked them up from school first. I opened the passenger door, an old One Direction song filling the air, only to find the seat taken by my mom's bead organizer.
"Can you hop in the back?" Mom asked. "I have to deliver a necklace to a client on our way home."
She pushed a button and the side doors slid open, revealing my two little brothers fighting over an action figure. A plastic cup rolled onto the ground. I looked around to see how embarrassed I should be. The parking lot wasn't too full anymore. A few kids were getting into their own cars or shouting to their friends. No one seemed to be paying attention to me.
"Sorry I'm late," Mom added.
"It's fine." I shut the front door, swiped the cup off the asphalt, and patted my brother on the back. "Scoot over, thing too." I wiped some Cheez-It crumbs off the seat and sat down. "I thought Ashley was picking me up," I said to Mom. My older sister Ashley was 19. She had her own car, a job, and went to college. But because she still lived at home, stealing my opportunity of having my own room, she had to contribute to family obligations, like picking me up from school.
"She's working at the campus store late tonight," Mom reminded me. "Hey, are you complaining about your super hip mom picking you up?"
She smiled at me in the rearview mirror. I laughed. "Do super hip moms use the word hip?
Fly? Bomb? Awesome?"
In the middle of her list, she turned to my brother and said, "Wyatt, you're 10. Let Jonah have it."
"But Jonah's 7. That's only 3 years younger. He shouldn't get everything."
Jonah elbowed me in the stomach in his attempt to steal the Iron Man figure. "It's mine now," I said, causing an outraged cry from both my brothers as I took the action figure and flung it into the trunk. My mom sighed.
"I don't know how helpful that was."
My intestines appreciate it very much. My brothers both stopped mid-whine and giggled, the desired result of my declaration. I tousled their hair. "How was school, things?" My mom slammed on her brakes as a black BMW cut into her lane. I reached over to keep Jonah from hitting his head on the seat in front of him. I didn't have to look at the driver to know who it was, but I could see him anyway. His wavy dark hair styled to perfection. Cade had the boy next door looks. Tall, big smile, puppy dog brown eyes. Without the personality to go with them.
"Someone didn't learn safe driving skills," my mom muttered as Cade drove away.
I wished she had laid on her horn.
"He didn't learn a lot of skills."
"Including the ability to make chance rhyme."
"You know him?"
"That's Cade Jennings. People call him Jennings the Jerk, though." Now that was catchy. Alliteration. Magnet. Lily? How did anyone remember that?
"They do?" my mom asked. "That's not very nice."
"They don't," I mumbled. "But they should have. It had a nice ring to it."
"Cade."
My mom's eyes narrowed in thought. "Isabel used to date him our freshman year." Until Cade and I fought so much that my best friend basically had to pick a side. She'd claimed the breakup wasn't my fault, but I knew it probably was. Half the time I felt guilty, the other half I figured I had saved her a lot of heartache.
"I thought that name sounded familiar,"
Mom said, making a right turn.
"Did we ever have him over to the house?"
"No, we didn't." Thank goodness. Cade would have no doubt mocked me about our constantly cluttered house. With 4 kids, it was in a never-ending state of disaster. Isabel had dragged me to Cade's house once for his 14th birthday. When we'd knocked on the door and he'd answered, his face had shown how he felt about me tagging along.
"Great birthday surprise,"
he called in a sarcastic voice as he headed back into the house, Isabel and I following behind.
"Believe me, I didn't want to come either," I'd answered back.
Isabel had hurried to catch up with Cade. Meanwhile, I'd come to a standstill in the entryway. The inside of the house was massive and shockingly white. Even the furniture and decorations were white. Nothing would have stayed white for a second in my house. I turned a slow circle, taking everything in, when Isabel poked her head around the corner and asked, "Are you coming?" My brothers' voices brought me out of the memory and back into the car with my family. They were now fighting over a fun pack of M&Ms.
"I found it under the seat. That means it's mine,"
Wyatt said. I pulled out my notebook and got to work on sketching the skirt again. "Hey, Mom, can we get some black thread? I'm out." Mom turned onto the main street.
"Can it wait until the end of the week? Your dad is finishing up a job."
My dad was a freelance furniture designer. The amount of work he got could be unpredictable, and so was our family budget. Basically, everything about my family was unpredictable.
"Yeah, of course," I said.
Back home, I stepped over the pile of backpacks just inside the door and made my way to my room. "I'm borrowing the laptop," I called out to anyone who wanted to listen, and grabbed the computer off the hallway desk. Nobody responded. I walked into my room. Well, half of it was my room. The clean half. The half with fabric samples and color palettes pinned to the walls. Not the half with magazine clippings of makeup ideas and cute celebrities. Although I had found myself appreciating that half every once in a while. But with Ashley not here now, I was free to flop down on my bed and pull up YouTube. I searched for an instructional video for the Blackout song. It wasn't a well-known song, so I wasn't sure I'd be able to find someone teaching the guitar part for it. I had to scroll through several pages, but finally I found one. I positioned the laptop on my dresser. I kept my guitar stowed under my bed in a hard case. It wasn't a precaution. With two younger brothers, it was a necessity. I slid it out and opened the case. This guitar, my baby, took me 6 months to earn. I had given up every Friday night to watch the neighbor's 2-year-old twin boys. They were more difficult than any kids I'd ever watched. And considering the nickname I had for my own brothers, that was saying a lot. But it was worth it. This guitar was everything I dreamed it would be. Its tone was perfect. And playing it made me feel like I wasn't as awkward as usual. It made me feel like there was something I was meant to do. This. It made everything else disappear. Well, it made everything disappear for a little while. I was positioning my fingers for the first chord when the door to my, our, room slammed open. "Lily!" Jonah said, running in and sliding to a halt in front of me. "Look, I have a loose tooth." He opened his mouth wide and pushed on his top right tooth with his tongue. It didn't move at all. "Cool, buddy." "Okay, bye." He was out just as fast as he came in. "Shut my door," I yelled after him, but either he didn't hear or didn't want to. I sighed, got up, and shut it. Then I focused back on the video and my guitar. 2 minutes later, there was a knock, and then my mom appeared. "Your turn to unload the dishwasher." "Can I just finish this?" I asked, nodding down toward my guitar. "I can't start dinner until the sink is empty, and the sink can't be empty until the dishwasher is." I considered fighting for 5 more minutes, but then I glanced up at my mom. She looked even more tired than usual. "Okay, I'll be right there." I closed my eyes and played one more strum, letting the notes vibrate through my arms. My whole body relaxed. "Hurry up, Lily!" my mom called. "Ugh." The next morning before school, I stopped in the kitchen to grab some cereal. Mom had already dropped off Jonah and Wyatt and was folding laundry in the den. Ashley was still getting ready. It took her hours, and my dad was at the kitchen table, reading a newspaper. I took a box of cereal from the pantry and was pouring some into a bowl when I saw something on the counter that made me shake my head. 2 necklaces lay on the beige granite, a piece of paper beneath each one. The necklace on the right had 2 check marks on the paper. The one on the left had 2 check marks. "No," I said. My dad peeked over the top of his newspaper. "Just vote. It's not a big deal." "You say it's no big deal, but then you make it a big deal. Whose friend did you rope into voting this time?" I asked, noting there were already 4 votes without mine.
"Voting is a privilege. There is no rope involved. It's all in good fun."
"Then they're both equally pretty. I vote for both of them."
"Nope. You have to choose."
"You and Mom are weirdos. There is no hope for any of us when you two do weird things like this." I poured myself some milk and sat down at the table. Dad's newspaper was still in front of him, as though he were reading. He was just trying to lull me into a false sense of security, pretend like the competition didn't matter.
"You know Mom is not going to leave you alone until you vote," he said.
"Sure, it's Mom that cares. Just tell me which one is yours, and I'll vote for it."
"That would be cheating, Lil."
"Why did you start this tradition? Mom doesn't take over your job and try to outdo your fancy carved furniture." Dad chuckled.
"She'd win for sure."
I took a bite of cereal. To get his mind on a different track, I asked, "Why do we still get the newspaper? You know you can find these same stories on the internet. Yesterday?"
"I like to hold my words."
I laughed, then stopped when I saw something on the page he held in front of him that changed my mind about newspapers. Suddenly, I loved newspapers. Songwriting competition. Earn $5,000 and a 3-week intensive with a top professor at Herberger Institute for Music. Visit our website for more details. www.herbergerinstitute.edu. You ready to go? Ashley asked, coming into the kitchen. She was yawning, but as usual, she was perfectly put together in skinny jeans, a pink scoop-neck t-shirt, and platform shoes, with her hair in a ponytail and her makeup flawless. Although we looked alike, same long auburn hair, hazel eyes, and freckles, our style was totally opposite. Ashley would have fit in well with Lauren and Sasha at school. What? I blinked at my sister, confused. I mean, yes. I mean, Dad, can I have that? Dad looked at his plate, which had a half-eaten bagel on it, shrugged, and pushed it my way. Gross. No, the newspaper.
The paper? You want to read the paper?
Yes. Ashley came over and snatched the bagel off his plate.
Hey, that was for Lily.
No, it wasn't, I said. I want the paper, not the bagel. He grunted.
Nope, it still didn't sound believable the second time I heard it either.
Funny, Dad.
You can have the paper, if you go vote.
I rolled my eyes, pushed my chair away from the table, and went back to examine the necklaces. The one on the right had feathers. My mom was going through a feather phase. I was normally a fan of my mom's jewelry, but the feather thing was a little too hippie for my tastes. Other people seemed to like it, though. I lifted the one on the left. This is your winner. My dad pumped his fist.
She voted for mine, Emily.
I held out my hand. Dad gave me the newspaper, kissed my cheek, and went off to find my mom, I was sure. It's funny how they think we don't know whose is whose, Ashley said, like the score would be so close every time. I know. We should really make Mom win by a landslide every time, and then maybe they'd stop the competition. It's good for Dad's self-esteem. Now let's get you to school, little one. I clutched the newspaper to my chest, hugging the words, and followed after my sister. Now, I just had to write the perfect song and win this competition. Chapter 3. There was something about chemistry that stimulated every thought in my mind to fire at once. Maybe it was the mixture of boring subject, monotone teacher, and cold seat. I wondered if there was a chemical equation for that. Those three factors, combined, created slush brain. No, that was the wrong term. My brain didn't become lazy. It became full, hyperactive brain. A brain that made it impossible to concentrate on the sluggish words exiting Mr. Ortega's mouth. Were his words coming out slower than normal? Today, amidst all the usual thoughts and words that I now couldn't write down in a notebook, I had the song I had learned to play on my guitar the day before looping through my mind. It was a torturous song, one I loved and hated. I loved it because it was brilliant, the kind that made me want to write a song equally as good. I hated it because it was brilliant, the kind that let me know I'd never write a song anywhere close to as good. And I kept thinking about that contest. How was I going to win? How would I even enter it? My pencil hovered over my paper, the single Mr. Ortega approved page. If I could write the song down, it would get out of my head and let me focus on the lecture. This paper would go in front of Mr. Ortega in exactly 45 minutes. 45 minutes? This class was never ending. What was he even talking about? Iron. Something about the properties of iron. I wrote the word iron down on the page. Then, as if my pencil had a mind of its own, it moved over to the fake wood desktop and jotted down the words playing in my head. Stretch out your wilting petals and let the light in. I added a drawing of a little sun, its rays touching some of the words. Now, just 43 minutes left of class. I was in the midst of writing in my notebook and walking down the hallway, something I hadn't quite mastered despite how many times I had done it, when I heard the laughter. I thought it was directed at me, so I looked up. It wasn't. A blonde kid, a freshman maybe, stood in the middle of the hall, books gripped to his chest. Balanced precariously on top of his head was a baseball bat. Cade Jennings stood behind him, holding his hands out to his sides like he had just let go of that bat.
"Toss me the ball,"
Cade said to his friend Mike, who was standing across from him and the poor freshman. Mike did just that, and now Cade was trying to figure out how he was going to reach the top of that bat to place the ball. The kid looked too terrified to move.
"I need a chair. Someone find me a chair," Cade said,
and people immediately scrambled to do his bidding. The bat began to wobble, then fell, bouncing across the tile floor and coming to a stop against the lockers.
"You moved, dude,"
Cade said to the freshman boy.
"Try it again,"
someone in the watching crowd called. Cade smiled his big, perfectly white-toothed smile, the one he used a lot, knowing its power. I frowned. I seemed to be the only one immune. As much as I didn't want to draw attention to myself, I knew I should probably help the cowering kid, but I wasn't sure what I could do. Being the center of unwanted attention thanks to Cade Jennings was something I was very familiar with. I thought back to freshman year PE. I wasn't one of those girls who thought she was horrible at everything, but I did know my weaknesses, and PE was one of them. And co-ed basketball was the ultimate form of PE, so I did my best to stay as far away from the ball as possible. For reasons that I later realized were probably malicious, the ball was constantly thrown to me. By my team, by the opposing team, and I could never catch it. It was like being the only target in a game of dodgeball. I was hit in the shoulder, the back, the leg. That's when Cade, who had been sitting on the bleachers, shouted for everyone to hear,
"It's like she possesses a force of energy that sucks the ball straight into her. A black hole. A magnet. Lily Abbott, the magnet."
He'd said that last part in a movie announcer voice, like he had transformed me into some sort of clumsy superhero. Then, all through the gym, everyone copied him, using that same voice, and laughing. They'd laughed and laughed, and the laughter had stuck in my ears, just as the nickname Magnet had apparently stuck in everyone's heads. And now that kind of laughter was happening again, in the hall, and it was directed at Cade's latest victim. I cleared my throat and said, "Oh, look, a game to see who was more thick-headed, Cade or his bat." I nodded to the side, trying to tell the kid to leave now that I'd distracted Cade. Cade's smile doubled in width as he took me in, from the top of my hair, its waves feeling crazier under his scrutiny than normal, to my docks with mismatched shoelaces.
"Oh, look, it's the monitor of fun. Is there too much of it happening here, Lily?"
"I only see one person having fun." He glanced around at the hall crammed full of students.
"Then you're not looking hard enough."
He lowered his voice.
"I get it. It's hard to see anyone beyond me, right?"
If I showed how annoyed I was, he'd just be winning. "I'm just here to rescue another soul from your arrogance," I said, through gritted teeth. Although maybe I wasn't rescuing anyone at all. The kid hadn't moved. I'd given him a wide opening to leave, and he still stood there. In fact, he opened his mouth and said,
"What if you put the ball on the bat first and then put the bat on my head?"
Cade patted him on the back.
"Good call. Where'd the bat go?"
I sighed. There had been no need for an intervention. The kid liked abuse, apparently. I resumed my walk.
"Next time, come by earlier. We wouldn't want things to get out of hand,"
Cade called, to more laughter. Anger surged up my chest and I whirled around. "Have you ever heard of alliteration? You should try it." It was a lame comeback, an inside argument that he wouldn't get, but it was the only thing that came out. The kids around him laughed harder. I turned, and it took everything in me to walk away at a normal speed. Chapter 4. "I'm going to enter a songwriting competition," I said. Isabel's hand paused while reaching for her pajamas. It was Friday night, and we were at her house about to watch a scary movie. I had held in this announcement since I'd read about the contest the day before, turning it over in my mind. Now I'd said it out loud. That meant I'd have to follow through. I would follow through.
"You are?"
Her voice held more than a little skepticism. I threw myself back onto her queen-size bed and stared at the poster of Einstein pinned to her ceiling. I wondered, like I always did, how she could sleep with him staring down at her like that. I always had a hard time. But I still loved sleeping over at Isabel's. She was an only child, so her house was like an oasis of calm for me. We would eat dinner with her parents. Tonight it was delicious homemade tamales with rice and beans. And then we'd come upstairs to hang out in her giant room with its own pull-out sofa, TV, and tiny refrigerator for stashing Diet Cokes and ice cream. "You don't think I can?" I asked her now, frowning. "It's not that, Lil. I'm sure your songs are great," Isabel replied, pulling her pajamas out of her dresser drawer. "I'd be able to tell you for sure if you would actually share one with me. You know, your best friend in the whole world." I groaned. "I know, I'm sorry. I don't have one finished yet." "That's what you always say. How are you going to enter a contest when you won't even share a song with me?" I covered my face with my hands. "I don't know." She sat next to me on the bed. "I'm sorry. I know you can do it, Lil. You just need to believe in yourself." "Thanks, Mom." "Don't be a brat. I'm trying to help." I took my hands off my face and looked at her. "I know. Tell me about the competition." I propped myself up on my elbows. "It's through the Herberger Institute," I began. Isabel gasped, her dark eyes widening. "Oh, wow! That's really prestigious, Lil." I nodded and tugged on a split end of my hair, feeling nervous. "I know. Anyway, there's a $5,000 prize, which would be so amazing, of course. But even better, the winner gets a 3-week course with one of the professors." Isabel smiled. "That's huge! Knowing a professor could help with admissions, right?" I nodded. I was trying not to think too much about this fact. Not only would winning the contest get me some money to help pay for college, something my parents couldn't afford to do, but it might help me get into the college music program that I'd been dreaming about for years. "So share something with me. One song idea at least." Isabel pointed to my green and purple notebook that sat on top of my overnight bag on the floor. I felt a wave of shyness and shrugged. "I have a couple ideas. I need to make them better. I do want to share, just not right now." She rolled her eyes, then stood up to change into her pajamas. "Chicken." I threw one of my socks at her, then collapsed back on her bed again, the ceiling poster taking over my view. She was right. I was a total chicken. "I think Einstein is judging me." "He probably is. Maybe he read your notebook." I laughed and went to get my own pajamas from my bag. Isabel changed the subject so I didn't have to. "One movie tonight or two?" That was code for, "How long should we stay up?" I smiled. "Two. We have all night." My phone buzzed against my thigh and I sat up on Isabel's pull-out couch, disoriented for a moment. The television hummed blue in front of me. Pale morning light shone through the cracks of the blinds. My phone stopped buzzing, then 10 seconds later began again. "Hello?" I answered groggily.
"Lily?"
It was my dad.
"Your brother's last soccer game is today. I know you said you wanted to go to one. Just wanted to give you the opportunity."
"What time is the game?"
"At 8, as in 30 minutes from now."
I yawned. Isabel and I hadn't fallen asleep until after 3 a.m., but I tried to pull myself together. "Yes, I want to go."
"Okay, I'll pick you up on the way in 20 minutes.
"Thanks." "Who was it?" Isabel moaned from her bed. She sat up, her normally perfectly spiraled black curls smashed flat against her head. I tried to tame my own hair, which always became more crazy curls than soft waves in the mornings. "My dad, go back to sleep. I have to run." "What? Why? What about pancakes?" "Next time. Thing 2 has a soccer game I forgot about." "He always has a soccer game." "I haven't been to one yet this year. I promised him I would." Isabel plopped back down on her pillow, her eyes already closed. "Okay, see you Monday." Chapter 5. It took me 4 minutes to see it on Monday. I had unloaded my book, pencil, and single sheet of paper. Mr. Ortega had begun his lecture. My eyes went to the lyric I had written on the desk Friday. That's when I saw a line beneath mine written in blocky handwriting. "For the night will soon bring back its shadows." It was the next line of the song.
What?
I was confused. Someone else that went to this school had actually heard one of my favorite indie songs. Apparently, I wasn't the only one bored in this class. I smiled and then quickly wrote beneath the line, "Blackout rocks. I want to be Lissa Prim when I grow up. I'm impressed you know them." I wondered how often the janitors wiped down these desks. That message probably wouldn't even make it to its intended target. It didn't matter, though. Just knowing someone else in the school had excellent taste in music made me happy. I wondered if I knew them. Morris High wasn't a small school, but only the juniors used the chemistry room, which ruled out the person I would have thought of right away. Lucas. He seems like he might have been just as into obscure bands as I was, but he was a senior. That was just wishful thinking anyway. The odds it was someone I knew were low. Mr. Ortega. What if he had written this message? Mr. Ortega? A Blackout fan? The thought made me laugh. Out loud. My eyes shot to the front of the room, but my teacher was in the middle of a sentence, so thankfully he didn't seem to notice my outburst. Lauren, sitting next to me, had, as evidenced by the look on her face. I knew that look. It was basically the silent version of, "Why are you so weird?" I thought about telling her I'd pictured Mr. Ortega dancing, but I didn't think that would help. Besides, I'd already learned my lesson about saying things out of context, so I just shrugged. Then I glanced back at the writing on my desk. The rest of class seemed to pass by a little faster than normal. I caught up to Isabel in the hall. "Why are you so smiley?" she asked. "I always smile." She laughed, then stopped. "Okay, actually you do smile a lot, just not usually at school." "That's because high school is a crusher of souls." "Not to be dramatic or anything," she said. "Exactly." But she was right. I was feeling light now, and I could only think of one reason why. "You know that band I've told you about, Blackout?" We stopped at her locker and she took out some books from her backpack and shoved them inside. "No? What did they sing?" I quietly sang a few lines of one song, and when recognition didn't light her face, I switched to another. "No?" I had played them for her several times. It surprised me she hadn't remembered. "Sorry, but you do like weird music," Isabel said, closing her locker with a grin. "I think you mean awesome music, but whatever." "What about them?" "Someone else knows who they are." "Well, I would hope for the band's sake that you're not their only fan." I smiled. "No, I mean someone here at school. We exchanged a couple lines of lyrics on the desk. It was cool." "You wrote on the desk? Are you trying to get in trouble?" I sighed. She did not understand the significance of this revelation. A loud laugh sounded from the opposite end of the hall. I turned to look and saw Cade and his crew. Sasha, the only girl in the group, was holding onto his arm. They must have been dating now. Not that it would last long. Cade seemed to have a new girl hanging around every week these days. He was looking at his phone, while Sasha was talking animatedly to him. It brought back memories of his birthday party again. After Isabel had snapped me out of my awestruck daze over Cade's entryway that day, I had followed her into the kitchen, which was at least three times as big as mine. The island was lined with silver food warming trays that people in white jackets and bow ties were removing the lids from. Who had a 14th birthday party catered? Cade had leaned against a far counter and was scrolling through his phone like he couldn't be bothered with his own party. It was Isabel on his arm that he was easily ignoring that day. She'd whispered something to him after a moment, and he shoved his phone in his pocket, as though angry at having been interrupted. The expression didn't last long. A second later, he'd put on his fake smile and said, "Eat while it's hot, everyone." I'd nodded to the trays and said, "Most people serve pizza and cake." He'd looked at me with that smug arrogance of his and said, "I'm not like most people." I'd said something rude back, something like, "Thank goodness." "Can't you just ignore him? Be nice?" Isabel had pleaded. That day I couldn't ignore him, not after how he'd been treating Isabel. Today I was going to prove to Isabel that I could. As we headed his way, toward the only way out of the building, I would not respond to whatever abuse he threw my way. But he just gave Isabel a dazzling and confident Cade smile, not acknowledging me at all. She returned it. I realized I was glaring, so I smoothed out my features and kept my mouth shut. It was harder than I had imagined.
Impressive, Isabel said, when we had made it outside.
What? I just did what I always do.
She laughed.
But you did notice that he was civil too, right? See what happens when you are nice?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Was she implying that I always started arguments with Cade? He started it most of the time.
I sighed. I sounded like my 7-year-old brother. Maybe she was right. If I were the bigger person, he'd at least leave me alone.
I liked this thought. Cade leaving me alone. Us leaving each other alone. It would make school much more pleasant.
Chapter 6.
My sister Ashley was waiting in a no-parking zone when I climbed in her car.
Hey.
Hi, she said. How was school?
Same.
For a second, I thought about mentioning the desk writing, but decided against it. If Isabel didn't get the significance, there was no way Ashley would. She waited for a group of girls to cross in front of us, and then eased forward.
When I went to high school?
Last year, I interrupted.
Yes, I had to take the bus home, or have Mom pick me up in the minivan.
Mom picked me up in the minivan last week.
Well, that was every day for me. Every day, Lily. And I still managed to have lots of friends.
You're lucky I bought a car. A nice car that isn't embarrassing. This was a speech she gave often on the ride home. I'd worn out all my sincere responses already.
Yes, I am so lucky.
Thank you, Ashley. However can I pay you back? I leaned my head against the side window, wondering if she'd notice if I took a nap.
Maybe I should work at the campus store more so that you have to experience the true torture of Mom every day.
Ashley sighed and checked the rearview mirror.
She once honked for 10 seconds straight when I didn't see her. And one time, she made me take Jonah to the bathroom, and he was screaming the whole time that he was going to pee his pants.
I laughed.
You think it's funny because it wasn't you.
I think it's funny because I have my own stories, Ashley. You're not the only one in this car who has 3 siblings and a weird mom.
In this nice, almost new car.
Yes, it's the height of class and sophistication. So beautiful. What do they call this color? Cobalt blue or Arabian Nights?
No gratitude whatsoever.
I smiled and Ashley turned on the radio. We did not have the same taste in music at all. When she saw me cringe, she rolled down the window and turned up the volume, wearing a smile of her own.
What is that?
Ashley asked, as we walked into the kitchen and she set her car keys in a dish on the counter. I was behind her so I couldn't see what she was referring to. As I stepped to the side to look, a white furry thing streaked past my foot with my brother Wyatt chasing after it. Ashley screamed. I dropped my backpack and jumped onto the counter, now sitting with my back to the cupboards, warily watching the floor. Mom chuckled.
It's a meat rabbit.
She looked up from where she sat at the table, stringing a bead onto a piece of wire for what looked like an earring.
A meat rabbit? Ashley asked. As in, we're going to eat it?
No, of course not. I saved it from that fate. The boys need to learn responsibility, so I got them a pet. I slid off the counter. And a nice, normal dog wasn't in the running? The rabbit bounced its way into the kitchen again, and Wyatt scooped it up, beaming. Jonah appeared at Wyatt's side and began petting the rabbit.
It lives outside, though, right? I asked.
Yes, my mom said, using her pliers to bend a section of wire. It's just getting some exercise.
Right.
I picked up my backpack and grabbed an apple from the bowl on the counter. Ashley, still standing where we came in, said,
That thing is gross. It has pink eyes.
It's cute, Wyatt argued.
My bedroom door was halfway open when I got there. Not a good sign. I towed it open the rest of the way and looked around. Ashley's side, as usual, had a few jeans strewn across the floor, but other than that it looked the same. I kicked off my red sneakers and placed them in the closet. Just as I took a bite of apple and headed for my guitar, I stepped on something slightly wet. I picked up my foot, and what at first looked like a pile of raisins, I soon realized was rabbit poop.
Gross! What? Who's dying? My mom asked when I got to the kitchen, a slightly mad look on my face. A rabbit, if I have any say in it. That thing pooped in my room. What was it doing in my room? Can you please keep the boys out of there?
Yes, sorry.
She stood and went to what I hoped was either clean up the poop or tell Wyatt to do it. I heard a noise on the back patio and opened the door. The rabbit was there, in a black metal cage. It was big. Not some fluffy little ball of fur, but a big, ugly rabbit. It stood on its hind legs and sniffed the air. Yes, you smell that, I told the rabbit. That's the smell of your enemy. Get a good whiff. We are not friends. It could probably smell the apple I still held, not me. I bit off a piece and threw it into the cage, sending it a very mixed message considering the speech I'd given.
Just keeping you on your toes.
Who are you talking to? Ashley asked. I shut the door and turned to face her. Nobody.
You might want to work on that.
She headed past me and toward our bedroom. So much for my practice time today. Chapter 7. Another message awaited me in chemistry the next day. Beneath my blackout rocks, I want to be Lissa Prim when I grow up. I'm impressed you know them, were the words, sorry, I already called dibs on being her. There was a crooked smiley face and then, have you listened to the Crooked Brooks? The best. I'd never heard of the Crooked Brooks before. I assumed it was a band name or a song title. Our similar taste in music was over. But my pen pal had left the first clue. She was a girl. It didn't help me narrow down her identity anymore. If anything, it left me feeling even more clueless. While Mr. Ortega's back was turned, I wrote, no, I'll have to check them out. My response took up the last bit of open space on the right side of the desk, the only side I could write on without it being obvious. It looked as though my distraction for chemistry was done until the next cleaning day. A hole in the cuff of my shirt drew my attention. The stitching had come undone. The perils of a thrift store find. I hadn't seen that before. I'd have to fix it later. I rolled the sleeve twice to hide the hole, and then did the same to the other side. From next to me, Lauren whispered, you really shouldn't write on the desk like that. She was reading through the exchange. I wanted to cover it up so she couldn't, but that seemed silly. Anyone who wanted to could come in and read it. It's just pencil. It comes off. To prove my point, I erased the first letter of my very first message. C. That seemed to satisfy her, and she went back to taking her own notes. I tried to take my own notes, too, but that missing S I'd just erased was distracting me. I filled it back in, then listened very hard to what Mr. Ortega was saying. I hated newspapers. Newspapers that told me about contests. No, I hated contests. I had nothing. Less than nothing. I had no songs in this notebook I carried around all day writing song lyrics in. Sure, I had a few really good lines here or there, lots of words, and lots of ideas for songs. Well, ideas was a generous word. What had I even meant when I wrote, a song about monsters in trees would be awesome? Monsters in trees? Had I really thought something in this book was worthy of a song competition? Why are you groaning? Ashley asked from the driver's seat as she drove me to school. I had spent all night looking through my notebook. Sleeping hadn't made any more lyrics magically appear. I looked up. She had just pulled to a stop at the front of the school parking lot. I wasn't trying to groan. You seem to do a lot of things you aren't trying to do. Maybe you should try not to do things like that. You'd have more friends. Thanks, Ashley. Good tip. I reached for the door handle just as a group of people walked in front of Ashley's car, Cade among them. He slid across the hood, landed on his feet on the other side, and then winked at her. Ashley opened her mouth in disgust. Who is that arrogant jerk? Nobody. She honked her horn three times. Ashley, stop. She rolled down her window. Hey, she shouted at Cade. That was totally rude what you just did. I jumped out. See you later. I walked away to the steady stream of my sister's rant. I tried not to smile, but it was fun to hear someone tell Cade off for once. Nobody seemed to have the guts to do it at this school. He had turned, as if actually listening to her, wearing his own smug smile.
I picked up my pace so he wouldn't see me. A minute later, I heard a voice from behind me.
It runs in the family, I see.
Had he jogged to catch up to me just so he could say that? Our feelings toward you, I said, forgetting that I was supposed to be ignoring him. Yes, must be genetic.
I hear there are meds you can take for that.
I tilted my head. Really? Do you sell these anti-Kate annoyance pills? Is that how your friends manage it?
No. I was referring to your issues, but...
I raised my eyebrows. Yes, I won that round.
So what's the score? You 3, me 200?
You're keeping score?
Always.
At that, he left my side, joining up with a group of friends. Not worth it. I repeated over and over again in my head until he was safely out of sight. My jaw hurt, and I realized I was clenching my teeth. I let a deep breath out and tried to relax. It helped when I saw Lucas walking alone 20 feet in front of me. I could practically feel all the tension leave my body as I watched his relaxed gait. Ahead of Lucas, Isabel waved at me from across the rocks. She bounded over, her dark curls bouncing. By the time she was walking beside me, I'd forgotten all about Cade. And since I was still pretending he didn't exist, I was not going to tell her what had just happened. I was proud of myself for holding my tongue. Hey, she said, linking her arm through mine. Her plastic bracelets clinked together. Hey, I responded. I'm surprised he didn't feel you burning a hole in the back of his head. What? Who? Funny, like you don't know who you were just staring at. My cheeks went hot, and my gaze went back to Lucas, who was now almost to the lockers across the commons. I was about to avoid the subject by asking Isabel if she finished the history assignment, but then 4 sophomore girls met up in front of us with a loud squeal. They all exchanged the lidded Starbucks cups they were holding. I was confused until Isabel whispered, "They each buy a drink in the morning and then they switch."
Why?
Why not? It's fun. We walked around them. We need a morning routine. I gestured back toward the girls.
That morning routine?
Not that one, but something we do or say every morning when we see each other to start the day right. A handshake? I raised my eyebrows at her.
Hey has been working pretty well for us the last 3 years.
But they're so cute, Isabel said, nodding toward the giggling girls.
We are not cute enough for you?
No, we're not, she smiled. Just last night before falling asleep, I thought to myself, I wish Isabel and I had a morning tradition. It would make our friendship so much cuter. And last night before I fell asleep, I was wondering how you got so lucky to have a best friend like me when you're such a brat.
So lucky.
Isabel's eyes widened. That's it. That's our tradition. To talk about how awesome you are and how lucky I am every morning? She shook her head. No. Well, we can do that too. But how about the first thing we say to each other every morning is the last thing we thought of before we went to sleep the previous night?
That won't work. You'll just say, Gabriel, every morning. You'll say it so much that soon I'll start to wonder if my name is Gabriel.
That's not true. She stuck out her lower lip. Fine, I guess we don't need a tradition. But speaking of Gabriel, he wants to go out with us this weekend. You'll come, right? I tugged on the straps of my backpack. I thought we already decided no setups. No, it wouldn't be a setup. It will be a group of us. Some of his friends and us. I frowned, suspicious.
What will we be doing?
Go-karts. The indoor track wasn't cheap. I calculated how much money I had saved in the jar in my closet. After I bought the guitar, the twins' mom hired a full-time nanny, so I was out of my regular source of income. Occasionally, I worked for my mom at craft fairs, but it had been a while. I couldn't remember if I'd spent all my money the last time we went to the movies with Gabriel and his friends. Okay, sure. I'll talk to my mom about it. Sounds fun. It sounds awesome! The bell rang. See you at lunch, if you don't die in chemistry, that is.
Every day poses that risk.
I believe in you! She was 10 steps away when I called out, Iz! She turned. Yeah? We don't need any cutesy traditions. We're solid, you and me. Chapter 8
I wasn't going to die from boredom this time. It was going to be from shock. In chemistry, there was a hand-drawn arrow underneath my final message from the day before. It pointed down to the end of the desk.